Movie Marathoners, and welcome to the Movie Marathoners Sundance 5K series, a series of short episodes centered on the films released at the 2021 Sundance Film Festival. I'm your host, Mati, and in this episode, I'm joined by film critic Audrey Fox, who is the assistant editor of Jump Cut Online. And we are reviewing the film Mayday. Audrey, welcome to the podcast. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me. Doing pretty well. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me. I know it's a busy time, so we'll keep it quick. But how's your festival going so far?
It's been good. Surprisingly seamless with the Sundance online interface. So that's been awesome, but definitely very busy.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to like criticize, but I think overall they've done a really phenomenal job. I'm really impressed, but let's go ahead and get straight into it. Just as a reminder, every Sundance 5K series episode will be completely spoiler free. And today we are talking about Mayday. So first, a quick synopsis. Anna is transported to a dreamlike and dangerous land where she joins an army of girls engaged in a never-ending war along a rugged coast. Though she finds strength in this exhilarating world, she comes to realize that she's not the killer they want her to be. Mayday stars Grace Van Patten and Mia Goth. It's written and directed by Karen Cianari. So, Audrey, I know that you saw this film a couple days ago because you got to interview the director. I'm coming straight off of watching it, and I will be candid and say that it's a very confusing film. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot going on. And so I'm still trying to process what exactly I saw. But now that you've had a couple days to sit on it, what are your overall thoughts on Mayday?
Yeah, first of all, I can totally see that. It's a very kind of abstract and allegorical film. I think it leans into a lot of mythology with, you know, kind of the myth of the sirens, which I'm trying not to be too spoilery, but, you know, the girls who are engaged in the never-ending war have that vibe, that siren-y vibe. But I think it's just a really interesting commentary on how women engage in a world that is kind of overtly or covertly hostile to them. Like the idea of being in a never-ending war is, you know, I can see that. I can get that. And then, you know, I think it's all about how you find peace in that. Like, is winning the war what brings peace, or is you finding a way to kind of, you know, engage differently in the world, a way to find peace. So,
yeah. So we'll try and be as spoiler free as possible. But if a couple spoilers slip, it's fine. So I just want to ask you, like, is your interpretation that all of this is like a purgatory-esque place or a kind of hallucination sort of thing? I think the film indicates certain things here and there, but it doesn't like firmly come and say, hey, this is exactly what's happening. And I think that's something to know going in mind or going into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a fantasy. And so I don't know that it's rooted in that strict idea of reality where it can be explained in really concrete terms. I think okay. It's kind of however you perceive it is what it is. I also definitely got like Peter Pan Narnia vibes, yeah, in terms of this, like, okay, we're off in this other world and it, you know, it could be a real place or it could be a hallucination or it could be, you know, imagination. It could be a lot of different things. So
that's sort of how I interpreted it too. The things that I really liked about the film were just the vibe, and that's kind of like a nothing term, I understand. So it's not necessarily the best praise or criticism or anything, but like just the feeling of the film, the way it looks, the cinematography, the score, the way that the women play around with each other on the island, all of that I really enjoyed. And I thought that was like, it was a very fun film to be in for what I would say is probably like maybe an hour. And then I guess where it started to lose me a little bit was that sense of understanding what was going on. And for me, I felt like I didn't have the stakes to quite understand what was at stake for these women. And I think like maybe connecting more to the more abstract struggle makes that less of an issue. But for me, I just found that I was sort of waiting for there to be an explanation and there never was.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that kind of happens when the film switches from just sort of this abstract kind of nothing space where it could be anything, to when it does try to, you know, reach a climax and it is trying to be more concrete, because then it's like, the is the world building, you know, has that been done well enough so that this all kind of has a payoff at the end of it? I could see that.
It just sort of felt that, like, I didn't really know what was happening at any given moment. So, like, when you're saying, as you're saying, they kind of go to, for this climax, I was like, okay, I don't know what happens if they fail here. I don't really know what happens if they succeed here. And when they face the obstacles in that climax, I was like, I don't really know what this means in context of the larger world or these characters. And for that matter, while I liked each of the characters, I wasn't quite convinced of all of their individual relationships with each other. All of that just felt a little bit hand-waved away, I think, to be more of kind of this abstract representation of what's going on.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is going to be one of those films that is going to take a little bit of rumination to really let it settle, because I think the best way for me to approach it was in that very, like, allegorical, you know, fable, mythical space where, you know, things don't always make sense, and it's I'm making, like, weird abstract hand gestures, but it's just this, you know, amorphous space. I think that is the most satisfying way to interact with the film, because I think if you are trying to interact with it in a more strict rules of reality, narrative focus, I think it will maybe be disappointing a little bit because it doesn't have all those answers. But I think if you're just kind of along for the ride and not necessarily looking for answers, then I think it's a cool experience. Like, it's a really interesting space to be in.
Definitely. I think that's a really good way to put it. It is a very interesting space to be in. Did you get to watch the film more than once before you interviewed Karen?
No. I watched it like an hour. I finished it about an hour before I interviewed her, and I only watched it once. So it was one of those, like, okay, scribbling questions while I'm watching it type situations.
Yeah, okay. Because I feel like about halfway through the movie, I was like, damn, I really should have paid more attention to the first 10 minutes of this movie. and there's quite a few films at this festival that are like that, where it's like, you really need to be paying attention all the time, which is, of course, not the easiest thing to do when it's 3 p.m. in your house. But, like, I guess that would be something that I would recommend to listeners, if, like, when they're going into this movie, is to pay very good attention to the stuff that happens before she gets to the island. Because there was a couple things that I believe I would have appreciated more had I focused more on what the film was kind of setting up at the very beginning.
Yeah, and I think it's probably also a good idea to be maybe not in a festival headspace when you watch it. Like, I think this is a movie that benefits from you having time to devote to it. And, you know, when we're at a festival, it's a lot of films, you know, in a short period of time, and it's hard to get into that space sometimes. So, yeah, I think if you can clear your evening schedule and watch this, then I think you'll get more out of it than if you're trying to watch it with a bunch of other movies.
So basically the exact opposite of what I did. Like,
well, what everyone did when they were watching it at Sundance, I think.
But not everybody hopped onto a mic right afterwards, so maybe I should have let it ruminate for a little bit.
No.
Did you notice that your opinion changed at all from, like, right afterwards, after you, versus, you know, maybe hearing Karen talk about it or letting it sit for a couple days?
Yeah, I think I got more comfortable, you know, experiencing it after I'd let it sit for a little while. I had some ideas, because I think it does have a very clear point of view, and I think it has really obvious things that it's trying to do. So I think I understood it in terms of its, you know, what it was going for. But yeah, after hearing her talk a little bit more about it and having a few days to ruminate, I like it a lot. And I want to watch it again, because I want to go back from the beginning and experiencing it, like, having more of a context in my mind.
Was there any one specific thing that, like Karen said, that was particularly enlightening or helped you kind of crack the code or anything like that? Like, what was the juiciest bit that you got from her?
Well, we I think the thing that I thought was really interesting, this is just a personal thing, I loved that she used old tech in this movie. Like, it's World War II era kind of radios and you know, things like that. And so I was really fascinated by her choice to use that. And I asked her about it, and she said that she was interested in that because World War II feels like the time when women were kind of engaging in, you know, like working and you know, going to war and things like that. So it felt right for the story for it to kind of harken back to that time period when women were really given a lot of agency for one of the first times on a, you know, general wide, wide level.
Yeah, that's cool. I really like the World War II aesthetic in this film too. And it almost feels like it's not quite steampunky, but it's kind of steampunky in the sense that you've got this like old tech and then this fantasy-esque setting. It's a really fun sit, is I think what I'm going for. I just sort of wish it did just a little more focusing at the end to kind of like bring it all together. But did you have like a favorite part of the film?
I really liked the sequences, the May Day sequences. I thought those were really fascinating to watch. Just their cold attitude towards it, especially Mia Goth, who I think is incredible in this movie. I liked that a lot. It was fun. Not in a vengeful way, but like it was cool to watch.
Well, it gave me sort of Promising Young Woman vibes in that sense. And then it also, like, the repeating of the Mary Alpha Yankee thing reminded me a lot of Never Rarely Sometimes Always, which had that same thing where they just repeated the title over and over again. And the guy in this is definitely the guy from Never Rarely Sometimes Always, the guy on the bus that they meet in New York. So I thought that was a nice little Sundance callback. That guy's getting himself quite the Sundance resume.
Yeah, he's great. I liked that. And I like where this film sits within that new burgeoning genre of female revenge films. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good vague way to put it. It's definitely somewhere in that realm. Certainly not in the same place as Promising Young Woman, though. So, like,
no.
Yeah, very, very different films. Well, so to close us out, Audrey, since we're the Movie Marathoners podcast here, I'm asking dumb running questions, and I don't know if they're a success whatsoever, but I'm going to keep doing it until somebody tells me to stop. So if you had to run a marathon, who are you bringing as your running buddy? Are you going to bring Bia or Gert?
I liked Bia. I think I would go Bia. She felt like she had
bubbly.
She was bubbly. She was thinking things through. She was good on her feet, I think. I go Bia.
Yeah, that's who I'm going with too. Bia, she was so charming. She was fun. And she gave like sort of like a youthful energy to the core women in the film that I thought was needed to kind of keep it a little lighter than it might otherwise be. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Audrey, for joining me. Where can people find your work online?
I'm all over the place. You can find a lot of my stuff on Jump Cut Online. I also will have a bunch of Sundance reviews at We Live Entertainment, Crooked Marquee, places like that. And I'm on Twitter at The Audrey Fox. So awesome. That is me.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
This has been a Movie Marathoners Sundance 5K series episode reviewing May Day. Be sure to stay tuned for more Sundance coverage. You can find all of our Sundance 5K series and the main feature episodes of Movie Marathoners, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, at our website, evergreenpodcasts.com/movie-marathoners, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much for listening, and remember that life's a marathon, so let's take it one movie at a time.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.